The first lesson is found in Lamentations chapter 3. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise as we are able for the hearing of our Lord's Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live. And Jesus went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? and he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Lord Christ. You see his shirt there? Yeah, anybody can get a thriving shirt, but not everybody can wear an Emmanuel shirt, right? Yeah. Good to see you guys here tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about generosity and about sharing, and the big word is giving. Giving. I'm going to read you a story, but first I wanted to show you what I brought here. You know what this is? It's a big shovel. So when I go out to the beach, I grab my little pail and I grab my shovel and I play in the sand, right? What do you mean, no?
You use that for the snow.
Yeah, this is a big scoop shovel and it's heavy, and you use this for like when there's a lot of snow, right? And what do you use a small shovel for?
Sand.
Like playing in the sand? So if I had a small shovel and I had a big shovel, which shovel do you think God would use? And which shovel do you think we would use? You see, when it comes to giving, God gives his only son, Jesus. So he keeps shoveling way faster than we are, and he keeps shoveling his love into our hearts with a big shovel. And we've got those little shovels like we use when we're playing in the sand. So no matter how fast we scoop God's love out to others, we can never out-shovel God. We can never out-give God. Here's the story I want to read you. It's called The Little Red Fort. Have you read this story before?
Yeah.
You know this one?
Yeah.
You guys know this one? Oh, this is a good story. This little girl here, her name is Ruby. She's a builder. Ruby's mind was always full of ideas. You have a mind full of ideas? Yep. One day she found some old boards. "Who wants to help me build something?" she asked her brothers. What do you think her brother said? Oscar Lee pretended not to hear her. Rodrigo gave her a look that could melt popsicles. Jose almost fell off the fence. "You don't know how to build anything," they said. Ruby shrugged. "Then I'll learn." And she did. "Who wants to help me draw the plans?" Ruby asked. The boys clutched their sides and howled with laughter. "Not me," said Oscar Lee. "I don't think so," said Rodrigo. "No way," said Jose. "I'm too busy." "Fine," said Ruby. "I'll draw them myself." And she did. Satisfied with her plans, Ruby asked, "Who wants to help me gather the supplies?" "Not me," said Oscar Lee. "I don't think so," said Rodrigo. "No way," said Jose. "I'm too busy." "Fine," said Ruby. "I'll gather them myself." And she did. When all the supplies were gathered, Ruby asked, "Who wants to help me cut the boards?" "Not me," said Oscar Lee. "I don't think so," said Rodrigo. "No way," said Jose. "I'm too busy." "Fine," said Ruby. "I'll cut them myself." And she did. When all the boards were neatly cut, Ruby sang, "Who wants to help me hammer the nails?" "Not me," said Oscar Lee. "I don't think so," said Rodrigo. "No way," said Jose. "I'm too busy." "Fine," said Ruby. "I'll hammer them myself." And she did. Soon Ruby's creation was complete. "Who wants to play in my fort?" she called. "Me, me," said Oscar Lee. "Let's go," said Rodrigo. "I'll play," said Jose. "I'm not busy anymore." "Not so fast," Ruby said. "You didn't help me draw the plans or gather the supplies or cut the boards or hammer the nails. You said I didn't know how to build. And you laughed at me." They laughed at Jesus too, you know. "I'm going to play in the fort by myself." And she did. But it's not much fun playing by yourself, is it? "We didn't want to play anyway," the boy said. But they really did. So they huddled, whispered, and got straight to work. Oscar Lee made a mailbox. Rodrigo painted flowers. Jose painted the fort fire engine red. And Ruby was delighted. That evening, the boys followed a delicious aroma to a fort-warming party. "Who wants to help me clean this plate of cookies?" Ruby asked. "We do," the boy said. And they did. Together. It's more fun when you do things together, right? God has a big shovel, and he keeps shoveling out his love into our hearts. Not so that it can stay there, but so that we can use our small shovels and keep shoveling it out to others. We can't outgive God. You know that, right? Because his shovel is bigger, and he's a lot faster than we are. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thanks for giving me the best gift of all, your love. Help me share your love with others. We can't outgive you. Amen. Thanks for coming up. The Lord is my portion. I have everything that I need. It's not about a small portion, a large portion, or a medium-sized portion. It's about Jesus. And when you have Jesus, you've got everything that you need. He is God's faithfulness to us, and he is a sufficient portion for this life and for eternal life. Some of you know that I love baseball. Not as much as I used to. It used to be more fun, but now with all these multi-million-dollar contracts and stuff, I sometimes don't even care about going to a game. But years ago, when it was fun, players like Andy Van Slyke, a devout Christian, a center fielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates, 1992, spring training, the month of March, he was down in Florida, lots of his family and relatives, he and his wife, Lori, their three boys. It was spring training. And then there was a crisis. It was the 7-year-old Scott, who is now a professional baseball player also, because this was 1992. Scott saw in the hot tub what he thought was a toy, a big toy that someone had left. And so he went down to get it and discovered that it was his little brother, Jared, 3 years old, submerged. Now, Scott was only 55 pounds. Jared, 33 pounds. But with the love of Jesus, he grabbed his brother and pulled him out of the water, and he yelled for help. And then once he yelled for help, the uncle came, started giving mouth to mouth. A neighbor called 911. Within 2 minutes, there was an ambulance there. And mom and dad were there, and they were praying that God would heal and save their boy. He was in the hospital, Jared, for just one night. was released the next day and was okay. And the doctor said, must have been because he was only submerged underwater for 2 minutes, but that was 2 minutes too long for a father who almost lost his son. And when Annie Van Slyke was interviewed by Sports Illustrated, and they asked him about this incident and about his faith, because he's a devout Christian, when they asked him, he said, if we had lost my little boy, my heart would have been ripped apart. Terrible sorrow. It would be like someone taking a great big hammer and taking those spikes and pounding it into a 2x4 and then ripping it out. My heart would have been ripped apart. And you know how there's this great big gaping hole when you pull a spike out of a 2x4? But Jesus, my family believes in Jesus. He's the only thing, the only one who could feel like putty in that open hole of that wounded piece of timber. I don't know how, Andy Van Slyke said, but I believe that only Jesus would have gotten us through that loss. We thank God that our son was given back to us. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. It was in one of his prison epistles that St. Paul said to the Philippians, when he was under house arrest, his epistle of joy, it was St. Paul who said, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. It was also St. Paul in his second letter to his beloved child Timothy who wrote these words. The saying is true. It's trustworthy. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, God remains faithful because God cannot deny himself. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. There is no end to God's mercy and steadfast love for you. God is all sufficient. God is everything you need. God is the greatest giver of all. And anyone who thinks that they can outshovel him with their little bucket and their little shovel is just deceiving themselves. And they haven't been set free yet, liberated by the generosity of God. Great is thy faithfulness. Why do you think he gives us his faithfulness? So we can hoard it, or so we can share it. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is your portion. He's your inheritance. He's everything. And then some. Are you hungry for a sandwich? I mean, there was a time when some people, before they went to bed, wanted a snack, maybe a dish of ice cream, or I think I'm going to fix myself a sandwich. Well, in the Gospel of Mark, Mark is known for his sandwiches. Not a Dagwood, but he's known for his sandwiches where he takes a story and puts another story inside of it, like two slices of bread and the meat and the fillings in the middle. And that's what you've got tonight, one of Mark's sandwiches. that is centered in the theme of the faith to be healed. The faith of Jesus, which brings restoration to God's people. And did you hear the sandwich? Did you see it? I mean, it all begins when Jesus comes back from the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He's making his way back and forth, and there is, as usual, a large crowd of people that are pressing upon him. And lo and behold, in this sandwich that Mark shares with us, you've got one of the elites, Jairus, however you want to pronounce his name, but he's a leader of the synagogue and should not be seen with the likes of Jesus. But desperate times call for desperate measures. I mean, if you knew the world was going to hell, would you just sit there and tell no one about Jesus? Desperate times call for drastic measures, right? So what does Jairus do? He comes, I mean, if you can picture this, this is this grown man who goes through the indignity of almost like crawling on his knees. He's at the feet of Jesus, and the word says that he is begging and begging and begging for Jesus to come because his daughter, his 12-year-old daughter, is at the point of death. I mean, this is close, folks. She's at the point of death. She's 12 years old. She means the world to him. In an environment in the first century, I don't know if you knew this, but in the first century, at the time of Jesus, 60% of the kids died by the time they reached mid-teens. And she was a girl. Oh, but she was the apple of her father's eye. Please, Jesus. You see, when someone is of infinite value and importance to you, you will do anything and everything possible to bring them healing and salvation, restoration. So what happens? He comes crawling and comes begging. The indignity of it all. And Jesus goes with him to Jairus' house. But on the way, like on the way for all of us, there are interruptions. Maybe like 4 funerals in 1 week, huh? I mean, there is interruptions in life, folks. And so Jesus gets interrupted because there's this woman, a hemorrhaging woman, who is an outcast, who has been separated from everyone she loves and the gift of human community. Unclean, unclean. This hemorrhaging woman, she's tried everything. She's explored all the options. She came to Mayo. Mayo couldn't help her, huh? In fact, what happened is her condition only got worse. And she spent all that she had. Every last cent. But like Jairus, she's heard about the Word. She's heard about Jesus. And if she can somehow, in the midst of all this crowd, if she can figure out how to somehow weasel her way in, but she can't touch anyone, that would defile them and make them unclean. But if she could just touch a thread of Jesus' robe, she believes that she could be healed, that Jesus could do that. So she touches. And immediately, Jesus knows that God's grace has departed from him to someone, that his power has gone out. Who touched me? And you can see the disciples, can't you? I mean, they're smiling like you are. They're going, like, real? Who hasn't touched you? Look at the crowds crying out loud. Everybody's bumping into everybody here. No, I said, who touched me? And this woman who was clean, by the grace of God, she comes clean. She comes clean to Jesus and says, it was me. And she tells him her whole story. And then did you hear the absolution Jesus gave her? Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Daughter, You see, the only one that could touch the father's prayer shawl, his talit, was a member of the family. And this woman, who has had a flow of blood for 12 years, 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel, Jairus' daughter, 12 years old, are you catching a thread here? A theme in this Mark and sandwich? She's a daughter. She's a member of the family. Like the story I read you about Ruby and her three brothers. Family! What will we do for family? Well, the woman is saved by faith alone, in Christ alone. But this interruption has taken some time. And while Jesus is giving absolution, someone, a messenger, comes from Jairus' house and says, your daughter just died. It's all over. Kaput. Why trouble the teacher any longer? The assumption is Jesus is just the teacher. Well, he's more than that, folks. The assumption is that he can only make a difference while you still have breath in your mouth. Well, Jesus looks at Jairus and says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. And they continue to Jairus' house. And did you hear the names? Peter, James, John. There has to be witnesses so that down the road when you retell the story, we know that it's credible, it's true. Two or three witnesses. You've got them. Gets to the house and there's this huge commotion going on. I mean, I think a lot of this commotion is going on today as people have walked away from Jesus and his church. I think there's all kinds of people weeping and wailing because all they could focus on was materialism in this life and how many breaths they could get and how many years they could accumulate and how much stuff they could get. And in the process, all of a sudden they come and they die and it's like, well, what are we going to do? Have an Irish wake or something? I mean, just drink ourselves to death? I mean, there's nothing more, right? There's nothing more? And they're weeping and wailing. This is a lamentation, like our first reading for tonight. Jeremiah's laments, the laments of the community of faith. The people are lamenting, and what happens? Jesus says, what in the world's wrong with you guys? Hasn't anybody told you the gospel? Haven't you ever been to a Christian funeral? This girl is not dead. She's sleeping. She's just sleeping. But Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And according to 1 Corinthians 15, we already know the truth. He's the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So he takes Peter, James, and John and the mom and the dad into the girl's room. And you see, it is not our contamination that contaminates Jesus, but rather his righteousness that makes us righteous. The touch of faith and the touch of grace. The touch which is the love of Jesus on the cross. And Jesus reaches out, takes her, touches her by the hand, lifts her up. Talitha kumi, arise, little child, arise. Family, daughter, little child, arise. Resurrection, Easter. And she gets up. And she is walking around. You see it, don't you? And Jesus says, give her something to eat. Give her something to eat. Because when you're restored, you need nourishment, the word and the sacrament. And when you don't eat it each day, you cause harm to yourself. Did you hear what Jesus said? Give her something to eat. There are people missing nourishment and meals every day. The lost that need to be found, the unsaved that need to be saved. What are we doing with our shovels? Burying them in the sand? And just playing with the little buckets on the beach? Really? Really? Mark Cahill says, you really want to spend eternity without a member of your family or one of your best friends? Really? Really? I don't. It's a Mark and sandwich. And it's about saving faith in the name of Jesus. The Lord is your portion. You have everything that you need. Some of you know that TJ and Rachel, my daughter and son-in-law, they're in Denver right now, by the grace of God. They should be there right now. They'll be there for the next 3 years as she does a medical fellowship. We watched Micah and Jonah. They were a handful. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a good thing to do that kind of stuff if you're a baba and a grandma, but it's a handful when you're trying to also do your regular stuff. I mean, you get worn out, but it's good, right? Well, Julie was making some macaroni and cheese, and I said, Micah, you stay away from the stove. I said, that's hot. That's how people get burned. Oh, I know. That happened to me. I got burned one time. In fact, I got burned 10 times. He probably does hyperbole, you know, exaggeration. And so Grandma says, you got burned 10 times? You must not have learned the first time or the second time or the third time or the fourth, right? What? Oh, I know a lot, he said. He's a 5-year-old, you know. I know a lot, he said. He's sitting over at the table. They're waiting for supper. And I sit down by him and I said, you know a lot, do you? He says, yes, I know a million things. I know millions of things, Baba. I said, you know millions of things? That's really good. But let me tell you something, Micah. You can know a million things. But if you don't know one thing, everything else doesn't matter. You know what that one thing is, Micah? No, what is it, Baba? I said, you better know Jesus, his love, his forgiveness. You better know Jesus because you can know everything else. And if you don't know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, all the rest means absolutely nothing, Micah. Nothing. You can have all the rest. Just give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, tell it a kumi. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all the rest. Give me Jesus. I read a story the other day about the faithfulness of God. It was about a woman. Let's call her Inez. Inez was in what they call a home for incurables in some city in Canada. And so someone called Pastor Wallace and said, Pastor Wallace, will you visit Inez? So he went to this home in this Canadian city for incurables. And it was a drab room that Inez was in. I mean, there wasn't much in there, kind of gloomy. And so Pastor Wallace said, Inez, how about I take you out? We go out to the veranda. It's beautiful out there. And Inez says, oh, I can't do that. She said, I have a spinal injury, and I can never leave this bed or this room. And Pastor Wallace said, for how long? 26 years, she said. 26 years in this bed, in this room. He wanted to offer some kind of word of hope, consolation, comfort to the lamentation that this woman had. And he could think of nothing that wouldn't be trite. And he just stood there in silence. And then Inez said, one day at a time, his mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. And Pastor Wallace understood. Here was a woman who was suffering so much, 26 years. But every day, she received her portion. And she looked at Pastor Wallace and said, God is so good to me. God is so good to me. Did you know that in the Bible, there are four Psalms, in addition to Lamentations chapter 3, that says, the Lord is my portion. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Talitha kumi, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Dig out your shovels. Have a little bit of fun with Jesus. Lost people matter to him. All the way to the cross. God forbid that they wouldn't matter to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.